So we're having problems. Roger was going to do the second half of the show for me today because I wanted to finish early because today's my brother's farewell and I needed to get organized for that. But that didn't work out, so I'm obviously meant to be here. And it's just a revaluation of things that we've got to understand. It's kind of hard when this little mishap happens because we break communication with people and of course people give up because nothing's happening, and I understand that. I completely understand that. So it's been recorded, which is it's really good. You can listen to it on the archives later. My friend Bryn was going to join me. Now, Roger has joined us by phone because he can't log in. So, hi, Roger.
Hello, Selva. Finally.
Ooh, look at me. We got sound.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry you could not join us on the panel.
It seems to be a bit of an ongoing issue with whenever I try and get on, but yeah, what can we do?
It's just little challenges, isn't it?
Yeah. And I've had the computer on all day and stuff like that yesterday, making sure all the updates were done and turned off. And guess what? It did updates this morning.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, you know, these things are sent out to try us, you know, and then maybe I'm just meant to be here, and that's all there is to it, and which is good. It'll keep my mind busy. I mean, we all go through these changes in life and challenges we need to adapt, you know, and the understanding of death that we allow ourselves to create is the way they allow us to cope with whatever situation that is presented. You know, for me, I look at it as a transformation of body from physical to spirit. And even though it's always hard to say goodbye on the physical form, I embrace it on a spirit form. What's your thoughts on that?
So you're saying be open to change is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, you've got to be flexible. I mean, there was something on Facebook the other day. A friend of mine put up, and one of the things that she had was that people who are feeling really, really tired at this moment and a bit run down and stuff like that. It was about acknowledging that we're moving from third dimensional to fifth dimensional way of being, and people
What it is, the third dimensional to the fifth dimension, because it's keeping fourth. I mean, so yeah. What's the
people don't really understand what that means. They think it's going to be suddenly going to wake up and it's going to be completely different, but that's not true. What it really means is that how we be, how we process life, if you like, is different. How we see things is going to be different, and how we let me just get onto this, and how we interact with people is going to be very different. And so when we move into the fifth dimension, our consciousness expands so that we can see more of what's really going on than just what we think's going on. And that, of course, that's what spirit does anyway. Their perspective is so broad and so high, if I can put it like that. That they see something happening over there and they see something happening over here, but they see all of the stuff in between and they understand where it's all leading. And we're moving more and more towards that, so that when we take an action, we can have some sort of understanding about what the results of those actions or what we say. We've got to be more conscious about everything that we do and what it means. And I've just found what she wrote. So there's a question here, why am I losing my memory? Because you were leaving the third 3D world where one uses memory to know something. You are heading for the fifth dimension where knowing is the way to operate. Your memory is disappearing to encourage you to use your ability to respond intuitively. It is time now to simply know what you need to know in any given moment. Losing your memory is a positive happening. It affects all age groups. It applies particularly to light workers who have raised their vibration. And, I thought that was pretty good because I've been feeling like I've gone through the ringer a few times. What can I say?
I think a lot of it is acceptance. You know, I think once we develop a sense of acceptance of what is happening around us, instead of crying over or spilled milk, so to speak, you know, like I lost my memory, you know, just not considering, just embracing what is actually happening and accepting it. It makes the journey a lot easier. I haven't worked on my memory for a very, very long time, and I've always gone by the feeling and the acceptance of that moment that is presented right in front of me. I've always counted that as a blessing, even though a lot of people can't work me out sometimes. But once you develop that acceptance that it is what it is presented right in front of you, you don't need to compare it to what you remember or what you pre-structured. It just makes your life a lot more simpler. You know,
I was just thinking about my dad, Selva, because he's, you know, he's going to be 99 in June if he manages to get there. And, you know, there's lots of times where he is, his memory, we can say his memory's failing, but he, as you get older, you tend not to rely so much on your memory, and more on where you're at. And of course, you know, at that age, sometimes he gets disorientated and we're driving around in the car and he's thinking we're going in one direction, we're going in another, but that's basically just the physical old age. But he's quite sharp still when it comes to talking about current affairs and things like that, you know. And each conversation's just taken at face value at the time. So, yeah, I can understand what you're saying in regards to that.
Yeah, so we've got to work on the knowing. Instead of trying to remember, knowing on the knowing, just trust the knowing that you have inside, you know, and things will evolve from there quite strongly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
You know, I mean, I've tried explaining that to people before. We were talking about it last night on the meditation group. And so talk a little bit, because I've got to take this call. Roger, it's my son. Hi, Sean. Okay. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, so while we're waiting for Selva to take the call, we're talking about when people's consciousnesses move across from the third dimension of going into the fifth dimension, and it's actually not such a big deal as people think. It just means that your consciousness expands to take in more of what you need to know rather than what you remember that you thought you knew. And I know for a lot of people this might sound a bit like double speak or spiritual garbage and stuff like that, but the truth of the matter is that if you have an issue with somebody, for instance, if you have an issue with somebody and you treat them the way that you've always treated them because you expect them to be exactly as they've always been, then you're going to miss the changes that they've embraced, which now makes them a different person, and therefore you should be interacting with them as they present themselves at that time. If we were to not allow someone to present themselves as they are in that moment, and then have the perspective they've always been a particular type of person, then you're always going to get the same reaction or the same results when you converse or not converse with them because of your old perspective. And yeah, that's what happens. Oh, you're back.
Yeah. Now, that is true, actually, that I tend to agree with that. You know, and in fact, you know, we can let things overrule us and put us into a state of panic, or we could just go into a state of acceptance.
It's the same for ourselves as well, Selva. Like, you know, you wake up, who we woke up as yesterday is not the same person that we wake up with today, unless you keep trying to hang on to the old you. And eventually what happens is the momentum of the old you builds up to such an extent that suddenly you get pushed into being the new you. And that can come as a form of an accident, an illness, a trauma, or your job gets sacked, or your job presents itself in a different way. You know, if you don't allow the subtle change to move through in life on a daily basis, so one grain of sand at a time, if you don't allow that, then eventually the truckload comes and dumps it on you.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. So it's just all acceptance, I think, of what it is. I mean, like I've been saying for a long time, every day presents itself for the first day. Like, there will never be another 9th of March 2022. It's only here once. It's only here to show itself once. So we need to make the best of that day and see what that day has got to offer, because we only get one chance at each day. But if you can't finish whatever it is that you intend to do on that day, it doesn't matter. You know, you can reapproach it tomorrow with a different approach, with a different understanding, because your frame of mind would have shifted a little bit with whatever you did. Your mind shifts on a continuous basis. So we are continuously evolving, continuously changing, but it's like we don't allow ourselves to embrace that and acknowledge that it is okay that I don't feel the same as I did yesterday.
So, this is something that I've actually thought about. Not exactly that, but it falls into alignment with what I've been thinking. So, let's just go down the track that we are all God, trying to find out who we are in any given situation, and so there's, you know, an infinite number of varieties. So if we are all God trying to know each other as we evolve, it would be pointless doing the same day time and time and time again. Just be pointless, because you'd never learn who you are. You would just be doing the same thing every day. And so if you come to that point where you understand that God's an ever-evolving consciousness, and we're an extension of that, then we're going to be different every single day. Otherwise, there's no point.
Yep, very true. Very, very true. Yeah.
And, you know, I have thought, what if we're all doing the same day all over again, but we just get different variations? What if there is only this one moment?
What if, yeah. That's a good thought.
Ever since I was 14.
that's quite a good thought. You know, let's have this day again, and let's just polish it up a little bit more. And let's just have this day again, just polish it up a little bit more. You know, and I'm going to stay on this day until I reach that perfect day. And then allow myself to move forward. Now,
there might be something in Groundhog Day.
yeah. So that's actually kind of going to be tricky. You know, and I don't know about you, Roger, but everything is changing. But I think the biggest problem that most people are having is because they cannot see what is changing. You know, it's, I think the biggest thing people got to learn to feel. They've got to learn to connect to what they're feeling, you know, and understand that it's okay to feel differently. It is okay to react the way you are at that moment, you know. And even like with a similar experience you might have had before, you know, you react differently to that experience. You know, I mean, like losing my brother now, with this death, I'm reacting completely different to the way I reacted to my mum. You know, and the way that I reacted to losing my mum was different to the way that I reacted to losing my dad. And the way that I reacted to my dad, it was different to the way that I reacted to losing my other brother. And the way that I reacted to losing my other brother was different to the way that I reacted to the way that I lost Brett. You know, and they were all, I know they're all different connections in your life, because you have a different connection with your husband than what you do with a father and a mother and a brother and stuff like that. But I kind of like it the way that I'm evolving with it, the acceptance that I'm generating. Yes, it still hurts. Of course it hurts. But it's that acceptance that it's okay for them not to be here.
Yeah, you know, no one said that if you became really spiritual that you wouldn't experience grief, you know, or if you truly knew yourself as being God in a physical form, that you wouldn't experience grief when another part of yourself departs, you know, because that literally is part of the experience. And so you can't not experience these things, because we're meant to. And, you know, if we weren't meant to experience all these things, it just simply wouldn't happen. But, you know, what you were saying there is that you experience each passing of someone a little different. For many people, I think, Selva, and I know this would be true, well, it is true of me to some degree, it's the acceptance and the evolution of faith that allows us to be in acceptance of individual passings and eventually even our own. And I think that that's just, I honestly believe that it's a natural progression of how things are meant to happen. In part, I think it's to help teach us faith and trust, and also to not get lost in the ego self. And because that's really easy. That's really easy to do if you're not paying attention. Really easy, you know. And you can get lost in your ego self, and I can tell people from my own personal experience that when you start to extricate yourself or pull yourself out of the old ego self, depending how deep you've gone, it can be really hard work. I had to work really hard. And so, yeah, you know, it's all a natural progression about not necessarily getting rid of the ego, because that's not right, but just coming into acceptance of the rest of you. That's what I would say.
Yeah, true, yeah. Last night at meditation, I got everybody to do an exercise of connecting to the feelings, to become aware how they feel when they are meditating for themselves, and the energy that is created when they're just meditating for themselves, for them to receive love and light within themselves. And then I've got them to become aware of the feeling and the emotion when you actually send healing to someone else. You know, and this is quite a difference of energetic energy, you know, in a I feel if people could actually take the time to concentrate on how they are affected directly on whatever they're doing, I think they would be able to cope with changes in their lives a lot more smoother. You know, like take the time to acknowledge how to feel to receive the healing from spirit directly and become aware how it feels to receive a healing from another being. And then become aware how it feels for you to send healing on the astral plane to someone you're visualizing, and become aware of the feeling, how it feels to give healing to someone that is right there with you. Yeah. And they're all very different feelings, you know. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't get taught, that to really acknowledge that and to feel that and connect that and really accept the way that it actually feels, and it affects you on your own personal level as well. You know, I think a lot of people don't learn how to connect to the feelings in every aspect of the situation, you know. And then I say to them, when you get a chance, become aware of how you feel when you're doing a physical activity, a non-spiritual activity, and you'll see that the feeling is different yet again, you know. So allow yourself to take the time to acknowledge your connection and the personal effect that is created through feeling and emotions and everything that you do within yourself.
Yep. Yeah. I you know, you're saying doing a non-spiritual activity. I remember, you know, being much younger, riding around on my motorcycle in Port Hedland, and that was one. That was some of the most spiritual exercises or spiritual experiences that I ever did. I mean, there'd been many a time when I went from South Hedland to Port Hedland, and for those who have no idea, that was about 15 kilometres.
From the Heady Hotel to the South Hedland Shopping Centre is 16.5 kilometres.
Well, that might have been then, or now, I'll tell you what it is, but it doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. And there would be, I'd be setting off, I'd turn off into that T-junction, so from South Hedland, heading towards Hedland, and the next thing I know, I would be turning down Cook Point Drive. And I had lost everything in between. No idea.
Yeah.
No idea. And for me, it was, that happened on numerous occasions. First couple of times it really frightened me because, you know, where the heck was I and what had happened and all that, so all of the thoughts that go with that. And then after a while, I came into acceptance that sometimes that just happens. And it seemed to happen a lot when I was tired.
We were talking about that with my sister Julia, actually, about the loss of time that you have when you're in a situation. I was telling her once I was taking Sean to the Chidley Education Centre in Mosman Park, and we left Collie at 8 o'clock in the morning, right? And we went directly to the education centre there, but we never got there until 9 o'clock at night. So I don't know how the 3-hour trip became a 15-hour trip, a 30-hour trip.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know where we went in that in-between time, but I remember leaving Collie. I had the coaster at the time, so because I was going to sleep at the coaster at the school because they weren't going to give me accommodation, but I wanted to stay there. We left Collie at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we drove into Chidley Education Centre, which is in Mosman Park, at 9 o'clock at night, you know. So I don't know what happened in those 13 hours, you know. It was supposed to only be a 4-hour trip at the most, at the very most. You know, so there's 9 hours there. I just We went somewhere, we did something, I don't know what we did. And I don't know how many times I've driven from Collie to Port Hedland. And I get there before they expect me, and they go, "Gee, you left early." I go, "No, I don't know what happened." You know, and it's just countless of times that has happened to me, and I love it really, but I would love to know, where do I go? How does it happen?
I've had experiences, Selva, whereby if I'm running a bit late or something like that, that I can actually make up time. I call it bending time. And if you concentrate on getting there at a particular time, and you're trying to make up time, within reason, you can do it. All sorts of things happen, like the road gets a bit clearer. You know, sometimes there's no explanation that you've picked up 20 minutes, which shouldn't have happened. But if you work on it, you can do it. I used to do it a lot. And it's possible, more possible on long trips than it is on shorter trips.
Yeah, it's kind of good. It's just amazing how things happen, and we do receive help to make them happen, and there's a lot of unexplained. There's a lot of unexplained situations. The only reason we started talking about that with Julie is because I was telling her that I was watching Manifest on Netflix, and there's a lot of unexplained scenarios that are happening on Manifest. And it's just quite interesting, and it just reminded me of so many things, and that's how we started talking about that. You know, where do we go? Why is it happening? What is it that is trying to tell us? You know, and like when you wake up at 2 a.m. every night, you know, my granddad used to say that is the spirit waking you up, because at that time you don't get disturbed by anything else. It's the haunted hour, he used to call it. So obviously spirit's got something to tell you. So when you wake up at that time, get up, get a glass of water, sit at the table, grab a pen and paper. And if you get the urge to write something, write it. If you get the urge to sit there and close your eyes and listen, do that. But don't ignore that moment, because it's a very important moment of your day that you might get a lot of information at that time. You know, and that, I know I'm not the only one that happens to, and that happens to a lot of people that wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning every night, and they don't know why, and they're fighting to go back to sleep. But if like they could actually get up for a minute, have a glass of water, just close their eyes and connect to themselves and meditate for a couple of seconds and see what spirit is trying to tell you or wants to show you, or and get a pen and paper, you might get the urge to write something. And it doesn't have to make sense or anything. You just write it. It'll translate itself to you sooner or later, you know.
Well, I'm so practiced at going back to sleep again. I'm gone within 30 seconds of going back into the bed, you know.
So it's the best time of the day for me. Between 2 and 4 every morning, it is the best time of the day.
Well, psychically, it's one of the quietest periods as well, because wherever you are at, anywhere in the world, that time is typically when people are just entering their deep sleep before they hit REM. And so psychically, it can be very quiet. And for someone like us, who it can be very, very psychically aware at times, that's a very peaceful time. Because you're not hearing stuff.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. It is one of my favorite times, and I often wonder, you know, people should talk about these things. You know, they should talk about it and share it and accept that it is okay, that it's normal. You know, instead of saying, "Oh God, I've got to go to the doctor and they can give you some sleeping pills or something." I said, "Hey, before you turn to the pills or the doctor, just take a moment, just try it a couple of other things, you know, try a breathing exercise, try a relaxation technique, you know, just try a couple of things and see what message you might get and what might happen to help you understand or release that, you know.
There's also some very ordinary, mundane reasons why these things happen as well. Sometimes it's just straight-out stress. Sometimes it's because you've had too much beer. Sometimes it's because you've eaten too much. It might be because, you know, you slept early in the afternoon and you're all caught up. Sometimes there's some very ordinary reasons, and people don't, excuse me, people don't pay attention to what's led them to that particular point. And it's interesting. Here's a thought. I don't know why we're going down this path, but here's a go. I had a lady friend by the name of Cherie, who we got on very, very well. There was nothing romantic or anything like that. We just got on really, really well. And her husband was a sports professional. Anyway, he liked to drink beer, but when he drank beer, he snored a lot. And so he had to go and sleep in another room. Now, he would have described his marriage as not being so good, right? But he ignored the fact that he couldn't go away from his addiction of having beer, which then made him snore very loud, which then made the, you know, being together with him in bed very, very difficult. And so in the end, they separated. And as far as he was concerned, it was not a very good marriage. But he kept drinking beer.
Mm.
So go figure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could be all sorts of things. Yeah, all sorts of things. Yeah, I do suggest if you get a chance, watch. Breen has joined us. Okay. Trying to.
Where do you have to go, Selma?
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Breen.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Selma.
Hi, Breen.
Hi, how you doing? Good.
How's yeah, we're good. We're good.
Nice to hear you guys.
I'm going to, we're only going to be on for only another half an hour.
Okay.
Because Roger was going to do the show for us this week, but he could not log in as a host. Yeah. So I have to shut the show, and I do need to, I need to go. There's this 2001 number keeps on coming up on my panel here. As a call. Hello?
Yeah.
I don't know who it is. But there's no answer. It's 2001. Is there anybody there? 2001? No, gone. All right. So we're back to the three of us again. Now, we were talking, Breen, about the acceptance of life, whatever presents ourselves, and the feelings and emotions. And embracing the moment for what it is, instead of always trying to remember and reconnect and restructure a connection with the past, to be able to acknowledge the present and the true acceptance of it.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe, I think acceptance is a big lesson for everybody, you know, in terms of, you know, living life and going with the flow, even when life is not in a flow, you know, it's like looking at the glass half full or half empty, you know, or making lemonade out of lemons. You can accept how things are, the dark and the light, and realize that's what life is. You know, you have the dark times, you have the great times, you have the light times. And I feel if you realize that, and accept that, you know, life is not a series of high mountains all the time. There's hills and valleys to everything. Then you've got the battle partly won, and it's just it's just kind of like the lessons we come here to Earth to learn about is to learn to navigate the different storms of life or the calm seas of life, you know, and in a way it's like that, you know, that phrase they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And accepting that, you know, the hard times, and it's a challenge because when you're accepting the hard times, you know that it's not easy to think, oh, you know, when I get on the other side of it, I'll have some experience, I'll have some knowledge of what it's like to be where I am now when I get outside of this, and to realize at that time, oh, I'll be stronger in some way because I've learned something from this tough time. And part of being in that tough time or good time is acceptance. And that's what I think is like one of the biggest human lessons. I remember reading a Buddhist book. It was about Buddhism, and this lady was talking about one of the tenets of Buddhism where you learn to accept life, that life is a real reality of impermanence, that if you can get to the point where you realize there's really nothing permanent in life, we're all going through cycles of change. The natural cycle of life is life, death, regeneration, new life, and to accept that impermanence is a way of life, to then instead of trying to grasp on to something that is secure, but there is a lot to say about wanting security. We all want security, but we have to realize that under the foundation of security, there are the shifting sands of life. You know, so I feel it was a very interesting thing to read about, of learning how to accept the impermanence of life, of permanence of how life is and situations are, and nothing, never, always things change. Always things are changing, you know. So accepting the change, accepting impermanence. Impermanence is the big lesson of life. I don't know. It's just very interesting. And sometimes, you know, if I think about that myself, I feel, oh, God, you know, I want this security. I want some continuity, security, you know. But, you know, there's always something coming out of left field at some point in your life. And once you realize that, you realize that, okay, I just got to roll, you know, rolling with the punches, right? You roll with the punches, or you roll with the caresses of life, too. You know, the nice caresses or the punches of life. So I feel, yeah, acceptance is the big deal of human lessons, you know, I feel, in a big way. So, yeah, and you know, for me, I can only speak for myself. It's something that I'm always, it's a process. It's never a destination because you're always kind of practicing acceptance. You know, it's like you practice the violin or you practice the piano, and you're always learning something more. There's never that, oh, yeah, I've finished learning about the piano or the violin. Well, no, you're always in practice. It's like practicing meditation. It's a practice, you know. So, yeah, that's what I feel about that. If that says anything.
Do you want to respond to that, Roger?
I've got a very short answer to that, is that there's only one thing that's absolutely guaranteed in the whole universe, and that's change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and as long as we really understand, you know, our location is not our destination. And
right.
And I think as long as we connect to the feelings that comes with it as well, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, Bryn, about allowing yourself to, for example, connect to the way that you feel when you're receiving healing, when you're sending healing, when you are sending healing to a person that's there with you, when you're sending healing on the astral plane. Become aware of all the different feelings and connections, so that way as you're evolving and changing and embracing whatever's changed around you, and I feel that if you really connected to the feelings at the same time. Your evolvement and your change is going to be more smoothly and more productive as well, and you'll be able to use it on a more and in a better way, so to speak. I mean, that's my own personal view, you know. I really believe that the connection with emotions is going to play a very strong, active role on everything that we do.
Yeah.
You know, because the way we react to things by feeling and emotions, it really mark whatever is going to transpire from what is being created right before our very eyes every second of the day.
Right. Yeah, it's the thing to be in touch with your feelings, with the emotions, because if you don't have that, you know, you don't have the whole picture. You know, you have. I mean, that's part of why we're human. You know, that's part of our humanity, is to feel connected. You know, feel connected to what we're doing, connected to the healing, connected to receiving. And, you know, for some people, it reminds me of, like, a lot of times when I was more of a frequent reflexologist. I did reflexology a lot on people, and I could tell when people were not receiving it. I could feel them at the foot of the table, but there'd come a point where maybe I'd work on a certain point of the foot where all of a sudden they would let go of their breath, and then I knew they started to really receive, and then that's when the experience happened. But I could always kind of tune in and feel like, oh, this person's just not settled on this massage table yet, even though physically they look like they are, but internally they're probably preoccupied with something, or they're inhibited in receiving or whatever. And then there comes the point where I really feel them kind of connecting with me, and you can feel that. You feel that as a healer, and you feel that being healed when the connection is there. It's a beautiful thing, because it reestablishes that connection that we all have, and dissolves any kind of illusion, which is an illusion of separation anyway, you know. So yeah, I mean, it's so, like you said, Selva, it's so important to be in touch with your feelings, with your emotions, because that's part of the whole network of connection.
I've just logged onto my old website, and, well, I say old, it's only because it's old, it's going to be shutting down soon, I think, and I've got a little heading here, acceptance. The ability to enjoy our life in general comes to us when we learn to accept what is for us in that moment. By saying to yourself, okay, so this is where I am just now. What needs to change so that the situation is more enjoyable can be very enlightening if you are only willing to have the patience for the answers to turn up. Once acceptance has truly been gained, then the appreciation or the wisdom of why you are where you are can be found. Without some sort of acceptance, this is almost impossible. And so the real value of the process is lost. And when Brent was talking about being in relation to everything else, you know, as sentient beings, as human beings, we on this planet, we are in contact with other people and the Earth all the time. Of course, at other times we're in contact with animals and insects and elements and everything else. But permanently, we are in contact with other humans or the Earth or both at the same time. Even if you were the only person on the planet, you would still be in contact with the planet. You would still be relative to the planet. And I really wish people would get a handle on that, because a lot of the problems would just begin to disappear.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, because then that diffuses the whole illusion of being separate, you know. It's like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then out of that, you realize how responsible you need to be about what you do, the vibes you give out, you know, and say, listen, I'm doing this, or I'm saying this kind of thing, and I'm either cursing something or blessing something, and so, you know, and if we realize we're connected, we really got to realize that has repercussions of whatever action or thought we have, you know, at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I really feel that, you know, there's a lot of things that is created through fear. You know, we sometimes, a lot of people, they allow fear to enter into the space. And that delays their growth, and that of, you know, fear is such a confronting situation. And I think if we can teach people not to fear things, just to accept things for what they really are at that point in time, instead of fear of what's going to happen next, you know,
right. The
what ifs of the world, you know. And I think if we could actually work with people to embrace that and accept that no need to fear what might be, because it may never be, and you waste all that beautiful energy
right. On
something that is not, might not even be relevant to anything.
Right. I mean, I think half of the time we imagine our own fears. We make up all these fears, and how often have you felt, oh, you know, anticipate this happening or that happening, and then it's totally the reverse of when the thing happens. You know, it's like, oh, it wasn't that bad, you know, or, you know, it's like that mechanism of, I think it's like maybe we all kind of tune in so much to the primitive brain, you know, so much the survival brain, because it's like, okay, what's going to happen next? You know, am I going to make, you know, pay this bill, or what is the neighbor thinking about me? And it's really, you know, we set ourselves up to be afraid a lot. Plus the fact, you know, there's the media, there's this or that kind of message of, you know, what they say is no news is good. No good news is no news. You know, the only news that sells is the phantasmagorical, you know, tragic news, you know. So a lot of this society, which I hope is going to, and like Roger said, by realizing we're all connected, I hope it reforms into a society where, you know, the truth is reported, where things are a more rounded way of seeing life, as opposed to just news that is fearful and horrible, and that feeds into our psyches, you know. That feeds into our
psyches,
you know. So it's that kind of thing where fear is a big power, but I think love overcomes fear always. Love is more powerful than fear anyway, because love is life. You know, fear is anti-life. But life is all around. Life is in everything. Life is in our bodies. Life is in that rock, in that tree, in the wind, in the elements. So life has the upper hand on everything, you know, and life is love. You know, you can't separate the two. And when it's anti-life, it's pretty much fear. But fear is the great opponent, but I think it's not as strong as love. In the end,
I agree, Ben.
Yeah,
I agree, and I have a little saying that says, "Love is at one end, the other is fear. When you're at that end, love's really quite near."
That's great. Oh, I love that one. That's great. Yeah. Thanks for that. So yes, I mean, you know, like they say, when we come to this earth, it's kind of like a schoolhouse of learning lessons of how to be true humans. You know, it's like a lesson to learn how to be the greatest humans we can be. And I think the greatest humans we can be are humans that express love and care for life itself, for others, for the animals, for the plants in the kingdom. And that's that's the way to be a true human being. And I think the challenges of living on Earth, all the ups and downs, the real fears, the fears that are illusions anyway, they're all there to make us grow stronger in a way, because getting beyond them, we realize they're all illusions, and the love was always there in the beginning, and God is love, love is life, you know, and I just feel we're all school children in this bigger Earth experience, you know, and it's not easy, it's definitely not easy at times, for sure, you know, but it's the challenges that are the opportunities that make us stronger, and to separate illusion from reality, you know, to learn what is real, what is not, you know.
That's why I feel that, you know, we shouldn't look at things as easy or hard. We should just look at things, that's what it is.
Stop
putting pressure on ourselves of saying, oh, God, this is hard, or this is easy. Now, just embrace it for what it is.
That's true.
We make it more difficult for ourselves by actually labeling it, this is hard, or this is, just embrace it for what it is, you know, and if we can do that, I think we'd be able to move on forward. You know, it's like trying to give up a habit, even to give up a habit, you know, let's just say you're a person, you're a heavy smoker or something. It's just like, oh, this is so hard trying to give up smoking. I said, no, I've chosen to give up smoking, and that's what it is. I have chosen to do this for myself.
Right.
You know, it's not a hurdle. It's an acceptance of the choices that you have made in life. You know, like I used to get annoyed when people do things. I said, well, okay, I'm not going to get annoyed. And I was like, that's what they do. I may not like it. It may not be singing my tune, but that's their choice. I've got to embrace it and accept it for what it is.
And once again, the word acceptance, right? Once the word acceptance comes in, you know, actually, you know, I agree with you actually on that, because once you start labeling good, bad, you know, it polarizes, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, there are dark things that happen, there are light things that happen, but things are as they are, and the light can work through the darkness, you know, as much as the light can work in the light, you know, and maybe the darkness has a reason for itself to make us strong, make the light stronger, you know. If it was all about light, the light would kind of be weak. So, you know, there's a partnership there in a way. There's a partnership in the light and the dark, you know, just in the yin and the yang. You know, there's a little of the yin and the yang, and a little of the yang and the yin in the symbol, the ancient symbol. So it's all, everybody needs those two players always being there. And it's like getting into the middle road where you're halfway in the light, halfway in the dark. But it's really, then you realize it's all the same. You know, it is what it is.
So, Bryn, I had some, when you were saying about the light needs the dark so it can become strong. I had someone laughing behind me because the archangelics, they were just saying that, they have no problem with the dark.
Right.
Whether the dark's there or not is not their problem, and they don't have a problem with it. They only intervene to help us because you know, the dark does not like the light, right? Because without the light, they find it really hard to exist. But the light has no problem at all existing either within the dark or without the dark. It makes no difference to them. They just wanted to reemphasize the only reason that they intervene in our particular circumstances is because we ask for it. We either ask for it before we get here as a way of, you know, when I crash that car or whatever, make sure you come and help me. There's an agreement. Or during some period of time during our existence, we call on them and say they come in and help. So, yeah, That was quite interesting while you were talking, they're having a bit of a chuckle about it.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. That is. Yeah. Oh, boy.
But they're happy you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
It is just wonderful, really, we're all in the same page. We might look at it a little bit different from one another, but we are in the same page.
Yeah.
And that sort of, it gives me hope. It gives me hope. You know, like last night when I was talking to the meditation group, we were talking about, we talked a lot about death because, as you know, I lost my brother a fortnight ago. But another Stephanie, girl that comes to my group, she lost her dad the same day that my brother passed as well. So we took that opportunity to go into the depth discussion for Stephanie and my sake, really, but for everybody, really, to embrace what has actually happened and have the understanding, you know, that death is part of life. You know, and how we all get affected differently, how we all mourn differently, we all look at it differently, we react differently, but it's all okay. There's no wrong in this at all. And if we can embrace that and allow people to deal with it whichever way they feel the need to deal with it, it's a much smoother transition. But when we're trying to keep face and look strong, that's okay. This doesn't get to me. This is fine. We're just making it harder for ourselves.
Yeah.
So once again, is that acceptance thing again.
Right.
You know, you can't escape death. Death will happen regardless of whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor or fat or skinny or short or tall. Death will happen. It's a sure thing. We will all live. We will all die. But if we allow ourselves to really connect to it as just part of our journey of life,
yeah,
that allows us to transform into a new direction. We can embrace that differently. You know, and last night we're talking with Stephanie about it because she's very concerned about her mum. You know, her mum has so much pressure, you know, and I said, well, you know, somehow you've got to find a way to tell your siblings your mum doesn't have to make any decisions right now at all.
Yeah.
You know, take that pressure away from her. There's that 2001 again. Is that telling you something?
Is that the same Stephanie I know?
Pardon?
Is that the same Stephanie I know?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to add something here. On the bottom of my webpage, you've got a little thing about truth. It just comes, you know, before there's self-empowerment, then there's acceptance, and then I've got truth. And there's a single line that I've written here. And you've got to remember, this is my webpage and everything else, but, you know, this is all stuff that's been given to me. It's not just all come out from me. I'm just communicating it. And what the line says is, being truthful about yourself on all levels produces a profound healing.
That's true.
You know, I've actually discovered that as several will attest, you know, 20 years ago, you know, I was struggling with life really quite a bit. And the more truthful I got about who I was and what was happening and everything else that went with it, the easier life got. And I still apply that today. You know, you just got to be really truthful about what choices you make. You know, when, especially when you say, oh, you know, that person did that to me and that. Well, hang on a minute. Are you being honest about what led up to that? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Like even, you know, even when you're in a relationship, you know, like I did it myself. I'm guilty as charged with it. You know, we enter into the world of your partner because you want to be with them so much that you enter into the world and you start doing some of the things that they're doing because you want to integrate with them, you want to be with them. But then comes a point, like it did with me, and I said, I don't want to do that. It's not me. You know, so then you've got to find a way to tell them, you know, and I told my partner straight out, look, you know, I don't want to do that. It's just not me. You know, I try to get into your world, but I just can't. It's just not me. It's just not me. So, you know, love me for who I am, accept me as I am, but I'm not into the same thing, you know. So, and once you reach that level and you actually accept the true identity of a difference of one person another, you can be together happily. Like, I've got the best husband anybody could wish for, you know. But he knows my delivery sucks sometimes, let's tell you. But he knows exactly what I do like and what I don't like. And I know what he likes and what he doesn't like. And even though I may not approve of something that he does, I feel it's your choice. You know, it's your body, your life, you do it, but I don't want to be part of it. So I'll just take myself away from that. And then we're together when he's not involved in whatever it might be. You know, and it's like, accepting that it's okay for you to change and be yourself completely when you are with someone else, it will help you form a better relationship, a more honest relationship, but it will help you create your completeness of why that relationship happened in the first place. You always are with the right person you're meant to be, but you can only reach that level of true connection and growth when you are your true self with that person. And you allow that person to be your true self.
Right. Because then you're both being authentic with each other. You're not coloring. You know, you're not coloring the other person. You're not coloring yourself. You're actually showing your true colors, and you're learning about the true colors of your partner. And
yeah.
And then you just can love them and accept and you know, go along with some of the things they like and maybe not go along with the others, but that doesn't mean you can't be together. You know, it's just being learning the truth of what you're into with your partner, what you're not into with your partner, you know.
There's an extension to that. There's an extension to that, and that is that all of the stuff that you like about your partner, recognize that they're the things that you like about yourself.
Hmm.
And the things that you don't like about your partner are the things that you don't like about yourself, because that's the purpose of us being together, is to actually demonstrate those things. So when one partner is doing something that the other partner's not comfortable with, right, the partner that's not comfortable with it, as Selva says, you acknowledge that and you don't have to participate or whatever it is. You do what's true for you. But you've then got to look at your own stuff, and how this works is, if it's a woman that's observing the man, then she needs to go internally with her own self and ask, what is that man showing me about my own masculine? Because that's the shadow side. And that's the purpose. And, you know, what is the purpose of life? The purpose of life is actually to come in and heal those things that need to be healing. And if you come in and you're an absolute angel, then trust me, you're going to cause some shit along the way to start things rolling, you know, because that's what you do, because there's no point in being here if you're not investigating and doing stuff. So you're either creating a story so that it can be healed later on, because that's where your wisdom's going to come out from, or you're extracting wisdom out of a current situation. And how you do that is to, in this scenario, the woman would go in and ask her masculine self on the right-hand side, so why is that being shown to me? What is it that you want me to know about you? Because that can be very revealing. And that is what is meant by the truth. Being truthful about yourself on all levels produces profound healing, because you're learning the internal truth about yourself. And this is like a Metatron's cube where there's dots everywhere, but all of the dots are all interconnected. And it's like, if you could understand that this is how the dots are connected, and this is one thing relates to another, and that then relates to another dot, then that's where you create your reality from. And until people heal their internal dialogues, their internal traumas, their internal oppositions, until that is healed, then you are going to continue to create challenging circumstances. It's that simple.
I do agree that I would say 98%, but there is a 2% that I believe that sometimes it's not because you don't like something about yourself, it's because you've got to learn not to be responsible for that person.
Well, that would be something you don't like about yourself.
You know, I believe that sometimes, like in my case, there were certain things that I did approve. I know I didn't have an issue because I wasn't part of it anyway. So it wasn't something in me or something that I needed to learn that it's not up to me to make him change in any shape or form. I'm not responsible for his health. I'm not responsible for his well-being. I'm not responsible for him. I choose to be with him, and I've got to allow him to be responsible for himself. You know, sometimes it's that as well, but I do 100% agree as well that there is sometimes a mirror image situation that makes you look at yourself and understand whether it is that you do need to connect to your male side or female side, whatever the case may be, to be in that space, you know, because I practice that myself. I know when people rub me the wrong way, I do take the step back and I go, okay, what is it that I need to look at that in me. Why am I attracting this in my life? And why am I reacting to it? But then I'm also aware there are times that it's simply that I feel responsible for that person and I want that person, in my husband's case, as well, to be healthier, to be better, to have a better quality of life. And I was scared of, with Brad, I was scared of being a widow again. I was so scared of becoming a widow again that I could see his habits and conditions. I said, what are you doing? Trying to kill yourself? You know, I don't want to be a widow again. I want to die before you. And I tell him, I said, I want to die before you. I'm not being a widow again, you know, because I don't want to go that road again.
Yeah.
You know, and I've done that. And I know that a lot of it was like me healing and understanding that I'm not responsible for him. Just like I wasn't responsible for my first husband. I had to go back to that phase of learning that I'm not responsible for him. He's responsible for himself, and his life is his journey. And I owe it to myself to honor myself, to let him know what doesn't sit right with me, so he understands when I step away, why I step away. But I have no right or authority really to say you should do this, you should do that, because I'm not his mother, you know, and I don't own him. I choose to be with him.
Yes. Yes. So the road I would take with that one, Salva, is then if you think that's the learning for you is that you're not to take responsibility for them, then I would go to the feminine and have a discussion with her and ask her why does she feel that she needs to take responsibility. Because very often, we as the conscious being the slightly higher vibrations of the shadow, that's our purpose, that's our mission here, is to actually help sort that stuff out. Because don't forget, as we resolve stuff within us, that then vibrates out. And as it vibrates out, whatever we heal within ourselves, we help others to heal as well. It's sort of like a tipping point. And if you get enough people, let's just talk about domestic violence. If we get enough people around the world all challenging their internal stories about domestic violence, and we all took the right steps for our individual circumstances to heal that, then domestic violence as a story would disappear from this planet. It might take 10 years, but I'm guaranteed it'd disappear.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. You know, like child abuse and all that type of thing, you know, like.
But while there is one story too many and people aren't healing it, it never gets to that tipping point where the whole thing just folds in.
Yeah, true. I agree with that. What's your thought, Brent?
I've just been listening. I'm getting a little tired, but I feel that, I was listening to Roger, what Roger was saying about the reflections that we have. I think it's like a half and half thing. I think there are certain things in another person that I can say, okay, like if I was living with somebody who was alcoholic and they wanted me to join in and be alcoholic with them, that's just not my choice. Now, I couldn't think, well, what does that say about me being, choosing not to be with that? Well, maybe it's just, sometimes a rose is just a rose. Maybe it's just my preference not to be an alcoholic. I mean, I can still love that person, and maybe sometimes it's not as complex as saying, okay, what is that reflecting in me? Maybe it's just like a very simple saying that, well, I'd rather be healthy. I don't want to destroy my liver, and I love you. If you want to do that, then that's part of your life. I'll join you in your other parts of your life. But so I don't think it always comes into like saying, well, because I don't agree with this person on that issue, that there's something in me that it's a reflection on me, that there's something in me that doesn't agree. I'm getting mixed up, but I think you know what I mean.
So Bryn, it's not about whether you agree or not. It's about whether it causes you trauma or not, or whether it really rubs you the wrong way.
Well, yeah. Hang on, Brent.
So there's reflections, but there's also resonance. So people are either reflecting things back to you, or they resonate in time with you, or in the same frequency as you. And the problem with resonance is, most people don't think that they're part of that creation. And that's when you're in opposition to being a co-creator to everything that you experience, when you deny that you're part of that creation, then you disempower yourself to change it. You're allowed to change anything you like, and you're allowed to walk away from anything that you don't like. But you've got to not recognize or to be in opposition, like, oh no, that's got nothing to do with me, which some people do, then immediately they're disempowered to do anything about changing it.
Well, I'm more like saying I don't want to be a part of that,
And that's fine.
If I were like involved with somebody that I love, and then there's just a section of their life where they say, oh, maybe they want to shoot at birds or something, and I love birds, and I say, okay, you do your hunting over there, and I just don't want to be a part of it, it's more just like a preference, I just don't prefer, it's not something that I, that person might have been a bird hunter before I met them, so how was I the one that created that with them? They came into my life with that, and they want me to join in with them, and I say, well, no, I love birds. I don't want to murder
them.
How would you
look at that is that you would acknowledge that there's a part of you that's in the past, right, many lifetimes ago, that may have hunted birds. Doesn't mean that they still want to do it, but you're not necessarily calling it right or wrong. And it's just about, so if you've got that person that's hunting birds, but you don't want to do it, then you wouldn't be happy for them to hunt bird in front of you. But then you would go to that part of yourself that is responsible for that, and let's just say, it's okay. I acknowledge that you do that, and I choose not to do that, but I don't hold any anger towards you about it. And then that's literally resolved.
Right.
The other person still going to punch birds, and
yeah.
and you know this happens in my own household. You know, my wife's vegetarian, I'm not.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Guys, I'm really am loving this conversation and this topic. I think this is something we need to tap into again in the future.
Sure.
But right now, I've got to go and I've got to shut down and I'm going to leave you to stand it. So I've got to warn you, but I'm going to leave us today with a song, one of my brother's favorite songs, which is by a singer called Mercedes Sosa. She's a Spanish singer, so it's a Spanish song.
Oh.
But the song itself is very appropriate to what we're talking at the moment, really, because the song is all about, it says, gracias a la vida, which means thank you to life. Thank you to life for teaching me how to cry, how to leave, how to be loyal, how to be a good child, for the house, for everything. It's just a complete gratitude to life. That's what this song is really all about. You know, and it's saying, you know, gracias a la vida porque me ha dado tanto. Thank you to life because it has given me so much. It has given me children. It has given me a partner. It's given me a home. It has given me life. It has given me experience. It has given me a connection to God. You know, it's quite a beautiful song, which maybe one day I might translate it all for you guys. So I would like to say goodbye to you guys, and we can reunite next week if it's okay. Ness also wants to join us next week, so it'll be a nice little powwow if you guys want to join me as well. But until we meet next week, may you have a beautiful week. I've got something important that I do need to do today, so I do have to close the show early. Love and light to everybody, and I'll leave you with Mercedes Sosa's. Any last word, you two, to say goodbye?
Lots of love to you, Selva, and your family, and to Bryn, and I'll catch you later.
Yes,
okay,
and Roger, great hearing you again, and Selva, all love to everybody, both of you guys, and have a beautiful morning. It's my night.
All right.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me dio dos luceros que cuando los abro perfecto distingo lo negro del blanco y en el alto cielo su fondo estrellado. Y en las multitudes del hombre que yo amo. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el oído que en todo su ancho graba noche y día, grillos y canarios, martillos, turbinas, ladridos, chubascos y la voz tan tierna de mi bien amado. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el sonido y el abecedario. Con las palabras que pienso y declaro, madre, amigo, hermano y luz alumbrando la ruta del alma del que soy amando. gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado la marcha de mis pies cansados. Con ellos anduve ciudades y charcos, playas y desiertos, montañas y llanos, y la casa tuya, tu calle y tu patio. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me dio el corazón que agita su marco. Cuando miro el fruto del cerebro humano, cuando miro el bueno tan lejos del malo, cuando miro el fondo de tus ojos claros. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado la risa y me ha dado el llanto. Así yo distingo dicha de quebranto, los dos materiales que forman mi canto, y el canto de ustedes es el mismo canto, y el canto de todos es mi propio canto. Gracias a la vida.